All right, this morning, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, and we'll be reading out of chapter number 7. Ezekiel chapter number 7. This is an Old Testament passage that has a New Testament application that can be given to us. And everything in the Scripture is for our good. Whether it be Old Testament or New Testament, it is for the betterment of the child of God and the people of the Lord. Any Christian, I believe, that has any kind of a close walk with the Lord understands that we are, as a nation, we are in trouble with ourselves, and I believe we can understand that we are in trouble with God. We're on a downward spiral. And it's not going well for the people of our country. I think there's a great comparison that can be made between the nation of Israel that God founded as His people and the nation we call America that was founded upon the principles and the ideals of Christianity, and how that when you go away from God, you find discouragement, you find destruction, and then you always find the promise of the Lord. If we would come back, He will help us. He will heal our land. Someone asked the question to me, maybe this week, is what's wrong with America? What is wrong with our country? Why is there so much unrest? Why is there so much crime? Why have we in the last few years seen such a downward fall of a nation that once stood proud and once stood firm upon the principles of the Word of God? And Ezekiel chapter 7 gives us some words here that will help us to understand what the Lord has to say, and then we'll be also in the book of Psalms a little bit later on what we are to do. It seems as though our hearts, our minds, of course, we all are very aware of the election that's coming up. If you have any kind of electronic, you know that there is a lot of turmoil in this country over this election that is before us. All I know is that God will permit that which happens to happen. I think I have a responsibility to do my part and to do as God leads and directs, and I think you have that same responsibility. But understanding all that, we do know that God raises people, God lowers people, God brings folks into position to accomplish the purpose of the Lord. There is a purpose of God, and the Lord talks about that in many places, and we're not going to turn Him aside from His purpose. We're not going to change God's mind, but we are living in this little section of eternity that we call time, and we have certain responsibilities as a Christian to serve our Lord. If you would, in Ezekiel chapter number 7, we'll begin reading in verse number 1 and read a few verses down here, and then we'll skip over a few verses and read some more. The book of Ezekiel, many times we think of it as a prophetic book, and it does have a lot of prophecy in it, but it's also a book of history and a book of warning upon the people of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse number 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, also thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel. So there's no mistaking here who God is talking to. He's talking to Israel, His people. He says, the end is come upon the four corners of the land. Now is the end come upon thee, and I will send mine anger unto thee, or upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense upon thee all thy abominations. And mine eyes shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense thy way upon thee, and thy abomination shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know. Here's the reason that God says He's going to do this. and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, an evil and only evil, behold, is come, an end is come, the end is come, it watcheth for thee, behold, it is come. The morning is come unto thee, O thou that dwellest in the land, the time is come, and the day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountains. Verse number 8 and 9 now. Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee, and will accomplish my anger upon thee, and I will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense thee for all thy abomination. And mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways and thy abomination that are in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth thee. Those are hard words that come from a God that loves his people. But he said, you have gone so far away, God says, according to your ways, I'm going to recompense, or I'm going to repay you according as for what you have done. And the bottom line is, God says, I want you to know that I am the Lord, first of all. Then he says, I want you to know that it is the Lord that has smitten thee, or that is smiting thee. Now look in verse number 23. Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they that possess their houses. I will also make the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest and the council of the ancients. The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them after their way, and according to the desires will I judge them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Here when we read chapter 7 and much of the book of Ezekiel, you find that God says, I'm going to do these things according to your ways. God never brings evil upon people. God never brings destruction upon people unless it is in retaliation or as a result of God's people turning from God. And certainly when you read the history of Israel, you'll find that Israel had an up and down historical accounts that are given. There are days that they were having the manifold blessings of the Lord, and then there were times when they were so far away from God that they did not even look like God's people. And when they were in that position, God says, I'm going to judge you, and God says, I always want to bring you back to the place of blessing. God wants to bless you and I this morning more than we want the blessings of the Lord. And so we find here that that God says, according to thy ways, I'm going to bring desolation and judgment upon you so that you will know that it is the Lord that is doing these things. It is true that today, you and I, we have many conveniences that our fathers and grandfathers and grandparents did not have some years ago. I can think back in my own personal life, we have many more things right now than I had when I was a child. We have more convenient ways of doing things. We have a communication that is almost instantaneous. We have everything seemingly given to us, but yet we talk about the good old days. We talk about we'd like to go back to some of those things of the good old days, whatever that really is. Well, in saying that, we are realizing that there's something wrong where we're living. We realize that there's a difficult spot that we're in. And even though we have these conveniences, our country is not better off than it was 50, 60 years ago. Now, the message this morning is not to try to reform America or Americans. The message this morning is that we as a Christian ought to glorify God in everything that we do. That we are to honor Him and glorify Him. Reform never does work because those which are reformed usually go back to where they came from in a period of time. But when God makes a difference in our life, when God brings things to our attention that we can glorify Him, then we understand that it is God that we are dealing with. In this present day world in which we live of Bible deniers and liberal thinking on every portion of the land, we hear every reason why America is faltering. We hear it every thought, every process, every imagination is given as to why we are going downhill. And they have all the reasons, but they don't have any results or anything that will help us to make a change. And the answer, by the way, this morning is not in Washington, D.C. The answer this morning is not in our state governments. It's not in our local governments. I believe the answer lays right here within the congregation of small churches like Grace Baptist Church and others that we know that will stand true to the Word of God, stand true upon the foundation of the Lord. That is where God will bless and where God will help us. The Lord has ordained that this generation in which we're living from the time of the apostles until now is called the church age. And the Lord has ordained that the church is to go forward and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the commission that God has given to us, that we're go around the world and tell people that there is a Savior, there is a God in heaven. And if we don't do that, then we are under the judgment of the Lord. And God says, I'm going to do these things because they've gotten so far away from God. He said, I want you to remember who I am. I want you to understand that I am the Lord, and I am the one that troubleth thee or brings the strife. And so we talk much, and we should preach long and hard about the love of God, because God is love. And His attribute of love is that great overflowing grace that has been offered to mankind that they might be able to go to heaven. But when man rejects the love of God, there's only one other side for God, and that's the wrath of the Lord that falls upon unbelief. And then the wrath of God falls even upon those that name the name of God but yet will not live accordingly. What is the problem? What is wrong in America? Well, I put down just a few things, and we'll look at that, and then I'll try to give you a remedy as to what can take place. I believe the first thing that we can think of is that in the last years, and really it's been a long process that's taken place, we have had a departure from moral purity. We have a departure from that which is right. We've had a departure from that which is holy. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, and verse number 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now it seems right to man to do the things they do. It seems right to mankind that they deny God. It seems right that we would embrace evolution. It seems right that we would have our personal rights to do what we desire to do with our own flesh and our own body. But I'll tell you what, we have no rights at all, because God is the one that owns us, and He's the one that has created us, and our government has given to us certain things. But when that which seemeth right to man, there are those things that seems right to man, but yet in the process we find that it's a way of death, a way of getting out of the will of God. Proverbs 14 and verse 34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation. How true that is. Righteousness exalts a nation. But then on the other side of that, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalts, sin is a reproach. Righteousness brings us up, sin will bring us down. We have in our country an untold number of babies that are destroyed every year that's called abortion. That's the way that seems right unto man. Well, we have a right over our body. We have a right to do what we want to do. Or what about the right of the unborn? There are no rights. And so we have departed from purity, and we have the murder of babies. And it's estimated that every year in America, 1.5 million babies are destroyed just because we don't want them. Now that ought to be a sobering thought to every child of God. That those babies that we have held in our arms, those children that we have brought into this world, and yet there's a portion of the people of this world and in our country that don't hold to the sanctity of life. They don't hold to the joy. They don't hold to the blessing of a child and a baby being raised into a household. And so a few years ago, we made it legal. I'll tell you what, just because it's legal does not make it right. Just because the government says we can do it doesn't mean we ought to do it. Being legal and being right are two different things. There's a lot of things legal in our country this morning that in the sight of God is an abomination, and abortion is one of those. I'll stand upon that until I die. Doesn't matter how politically correct or incorrect I may be. Abortion is nothing more than the taking of a life, and God says that's murder. Amen. Amen. And so we have fared so well since we have turned our back upon the living. We're doing so good in our country. We, back in the late 60s, early 70s, we didn't want God in our schools. And now we've got guns in our schools. We didn't want righteousness given to us. Now we have unrighteousness propagated everywhere. And so we have the murder of babies. We have the destruction of the Word of God. And now we've raised up more than one generation that knows not the Lord. The Scripture says there arose a generation that knew not God. Well, you and I've lived long enough that there's been a couple of generations that know not the Lord. And every generation, what is a generation? A generation is usually calculated from the birth of the parent until the birth of their children, usually 25 to 30 years. That's a generation. Well, I've lived almost three generations. And we have seen in the last two generations a total departure from the things that are holy and good and righteous. We've seen the murder of the babies. Now we see the manipulation of marriage, and anything goes and everything goes, and the same sex and all those things that we hear about that I don't need to rehearse in your ears. We know what's going on. We understand that God has said certain things are holy and certain things are unholy, but we have sort of mixed them. And now we have nothing that's holy. You can't make something holy that's unholy. And so we find that we've had a departure. We've had a departure from purity. We have, and I'm not going to stay on this long, I could, we have a depravity of our politicians. I don't have to tell you much about that. Just turn on the radio, turn on television. Just listen to them. Most despicable thing that I've ever heard is what's going on this year. And we're supposed to vote. And we see a depravity that has crept in upon our politicians. Proverbs 29:12 says, if a ruler hearkens to lies, this hits home. If a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. Now that's the Word of God. That's not Lawrence. Proverbs written by Solomon, the wisest of all men. If a ruler hearkens to lies, if he listens or they listen to lies, all their servants are wicked. Our leaders are power hungry, money hungry, and have no understanding about righteousness. And we wonder why we're in such a mess. Many of them did not get there because of their faithful service. They've gotten there because of the money and the political favors. our leaders are polluted, immoral, never understanding righteousness. They're polluted. They're perverted. We even have those that's in Congress that are known to be homosexual. That's perversion. And so we find that we're on a spiraling downward fall. And God says, I want you to know that when it's all said and done, I'm the one that's brought judgment upon you. Is America facing the judgment of God? If America does not experience God's judgment, then God should have never judged Israel. If God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, then certainly God will judge America. If God judges immorality and God judges sin of all the nations of the world, then surely to goodness we ought to understand that we are no better, we are no different than anybody else that's ever lived on the top of God's earth. God will bring us down to judgment. Now, I know this is not a shouting message, but I still believe it's a true message, and I believe it's one we need. There has been a departure from purity. There's a depravity of our politicians, and then there's a delay in punishment. I heard the other day that somebody received their sentence, their punishment 35 years after they were sentenced. Why sentence? Because a speedily execution is not given. People think they are getting by and they're doing okay. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says it this way, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. If America would execute the sentences that are needed upon people that are ungodly and have committed crimes against society, if America would quickly execute that judgment, that might deter your boy or your girl or your grandchild from going and doing the same thing, because nothing happens anyway. It's just scripture. He says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Well, I can get by with it anyway. I can pay my way out. I can do what I want to do. If a country is going to have prisons and prisoners, then they need to be there for the purpose of bringing about correction. It's called the Department of Corrections. There's been a delay in punishment. There's been a depravity of the politicians. There's been a departure of purity. And then there's been a desertion of a person. Can anybody tell me who that person might be? It's the Lord. We have deserted the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be looked down upon, I dare say in certain areas of Madisonville, Kentucky, all you got to do is go talk about the Lord. If you want to be looked down upon as some silly individual, just talk about God. Well, we've gone beyond that. We're more enlightened than they were years ago. Well, I'll tell you what, years ago, at least they knew where they was going, heaven or hell. Years ago, they understood there's righteousness and unrighteousness, and now we have it so clouded that nobody knows anything about it. Our country has left God. I don't have to labor that point. God's word has been rejected. God's work has been persecuted. God's wisdom is being ignored. This is the wisdom of God. God gives us truth right here. And this is, as I've said probably 100 times, this is final authority. When God says this is the way it is, guess what? This is the way it is. When God says certain things are wrong and always will be wrong, they will always be wrong, whether or not we accept it or not. whether or not it's accepted in society or not. So God's wisdom has been ignored. Our government school system has gone steadily downhill, and we pride ourselves in some of the top-notch educational places in the world. But yet they know nothing about God. Nothing. Our government schools have gone steadily downhill. They're unsafe. They're immoral. And they're designed to teach children to leave God out of their life. You check it out. Education without salvation is damnation. We may be able to add 2 plus 2, and we may be able to multiply 10 times 20. We may be able to divide 1,000 into 10,000. We may have all the mechanics of doing all those things. We may know how to diagram a sentence. We may know all the rules and regulations of our grammar and of the textbooks, and we may have all the things of science given to us, but if we don't know God, we're still on the road to damnation. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. God puts some stipulations here. First of all, he's talking to my people. If my people will. And he says, if they'll pray, seek his face, turn from their wicked way, God says, then will I hear from heaven. Oh, we need God to hear from heaven this morning. We need God to lend an ear to us. We need God to speak to our heart, but it'll never happen until my people will humble themselves and seek the face of God. It just does not happen. He says, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. There's three things there God said he would do. He would hear. He would hear from heaven. And then, thank God, he would forgive our sins. And then he would heal our land. When our sins are forgiven and we make a change in our life and the changes in the process that God gives us, the automatic result of that is a healing of the land. God says, but first of all, you have to call upon me. We sort of live in a little bubble here in this part of the world. But when you get outside of our area, and you get outside of conservative Christian influence, and you go to the large cities, they have no understanding, no idea about who God is. And so how are we going to be healed? It's only because, and only can happen, if my people will call. Is there a deliverance? Can there be a deliverance? I believe so. Over in Psalm number 43, we'll read it real quickly. The psalmist says in Psalm number 43, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Here the psalmist says, just plead my case against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go to the altar of God and to God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. This psalm has but 5 verses, but it provokes some deep contemplation about what we can do for a country and what God can do for us that lives inside a nation that God says is ungodly. We used to think about the moral majority. We have no majority at all today, even close to that. That which was said about Israel can be said about you and I. We've had the blessings of the Lord, yet we've turned our back. Psalm 33 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance." Again, I understand that verse is primarily to Israel, but it can be applied to you and I this morning. Blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah. Psalm 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation. I said that a moment ago. Some people say America is great because of our land and our mass. Some people think America is great because of the minerals and all the wealth that lies underneath the soil. Some people think that America is great because of its people. Some people think it's great just simply because of the system that we have, that we are a people of freedom. All of these things that I've mentioned, they are a result that has emerged from the result of the foundation of America that was built upon "Thus saith the Lord." And we're losing that, and maybe have already lost it. All throughout the history of this great nation, it's unmistakable that God has led us in certain ways and to go certain directions. The pilgrims came not looking for gold, but they came looking for God. They asked God to bless them. Thomas Jefferson said, "How little do my countrymen know what precious blessings they are in possession of and which no other people on earth enjoy." Thomas Jefferson said, "Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed the conviction of these liberties which are the gift of God?" That was said 200 years ago. Can we preserve that? America as a nation, I've already established that we have rejected God, and I believe we're experiencing a fatal lapse and a fatal work and a judgment of God upon us. People didn't believe Jeremiah when he preached judgment. People didn't believe Ezekiel when he preached judgment. And people today primarily do not believe us when we preach judgment of God. We have forgotten God and we've replaced him with self-centeredness and pride, or literally it's just secular humanism, that man is his own God. Courts that once decided against immorality now have begun to promote immorality. Our eyes have become accustomed to the dark. Brother Sisson has said 100 times behind this pulpit, the longer a people do a certain thing, the longer they do it, the more it is accepted, even if it's wrong. The longer we see it, the more we accept it. When I was growing up, the thing that was going on at that time was evolution. Early 20s, the Scopes trial, and I went to school in the 50s, and we had teachers that would not even mention the word evolution. Now that's, we're so accustomed to that, that it's just accepted as truth. The biggest lie that the devil has ever put upon a people. When I was in high school, they were talking about and did remove prayer and Bible reading. That was the talk of every preacher. That was the message of every pulpit, of how ungodly it was. And we don't hear much about that anymore. We've done it so long, it's become accepted. few years ago, Roe versus Wade, it became the law of the land that a woman, if she wanted an abortion to end her pregnancy, she could do that. And we've preached that long and hard and still preach it. But it's falling on deaf ears, because the longer we do it, the more it's accepted. I even catch myself when I see something to go against that, I'll say, what's the use? And that's where we're lulled to sleep, because we say, what's the use? There is a reason. Is there not a cause? America calls murder abortion. America calls sodomy alternate lifestyle. America calls what God calls perversion, America calls it adult entertainment. What God calls lying is just a abnormal social development. We've traded our terminology. What can we do? Verse number one, plead my cause. Here in Psalm 43, plead my cause. Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust nation. Deliver me from that deceitful, unjust man. Give me deliverance, O Lord. And if God can't deliver us, guess what? We're not going to have any deliverance. If God's not able to deliver me, then I don't have any deliverance. If God can't deliver me from hell, I'm going to hell. But thank God He can do that. And He has done that. If God can't deliver us as a country and as a people of God from all the social injustices, if God can't do it, then pray tell, where's it coming from? Where's the deliverance going to come? We need to learn to rely upon God for His strength. Verse number two, for Thou art God, Thou art the God of my strength. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? When the enemy comes, we bow our heads, we hang our heads low, and we're under oppression, when we need to realize God is our strength. When judgment and problems come to us and discouragements come to us, we get underneath the circumstances. Somebody says, how you doing? You say, well, under the circumstances. Forget the circumstances and realize that God is our strength. He is the one that goes over and above the circumstances of life. There's none of us in here this morning that has a perfect life. There's none of us that have perfect things around us. We have circumstances. But thank God, He is the God of strength. And He can deliver and He can help. We must, maybe this is as important as anything, as the people of the Lord, we must realize that America's problem is a spiritual problem. It's not a social injustice. It's not a materialistic problem. The problem that we have, and I believe the only answer that we have, is Thy light and Thy truth. Verse number 3 of Psalm 43. He says there, oh, send out Thy light and Thy truth. Let them lead me. Until we understand that every issue of our society this morning is a result of a spiritual problem, we're not going to be able to fix it. The millions of dollars in the social programs that our government has spent for 50 years, different programs to make us better, to make life easier, they've all gone undone. They have not worked. It's not a money problem that America has, even though we're trillions of dollars in debt. But our real problem this morning is our relationship with the God of heaven. God can make our problems disappear. If God can speak and say, let there be light, and there was light, I believe God can take care of me. If God can formed man in his own image and breathed in him the breath of life, and he became a living, not a piece of dirt, he became a living soul. If God can do that, God can take a nation's poverty and make it riches unto him. And he can turn it around just that quick because he is God. America's problem is a spiritual problem. Fifth, be willing to sacrifice until God's blessings come. Just keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. It doesn't look good. I'll be the first to admit to you today, things don't look good outside these doors. Our country is ravaged. Our nation is split apart every way you want to think about. Racially, socially, religiously. Every way you can think about, our country has gone every direction there is to go. We can't give up. Where is there to go? Where can we quit? How can we stop? What do we do? Just keep on keeping on. When the Lord's disciples, and the Lord asked his disciples, he said, "Are you too going to leave me?" And they said, "Lord, we have given everything to you. Where is there to go?" You and I this morning, we've given everything. We've given our life. We've given our love to our Lord. If we leave him, where can we go? There's no way of escape. There's no place of escape. There's nothing else that can be done. Just come unto him and don't quit. Verse 5 of Psalm 43, and with this we'll close. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health, my countenance, and my God." Regardless of the situation, the psalmist said here, I'm going to praise him because he's my health of my soul and my countenance. And more than that, he is my God. I'm glad this morning I know the Lord. I'm glad he knows me. He knows where our country is. He knows the need that we have. And can God bring us down to bring us back up? Yes, he can. Is he going to work that way? I don't know. I don't have the mind of God. But I do know one thing, that I belong to him, and he can take care of me. And he can take care of you. He can take care of us in the midst of a wicked nation, a wicked generation. God help us to make known his ways. Let's stand together this morning.